If you have your Bibles, turn with me to James. James, verse 12 of chapter 1. James 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Could you imagine being Abraham? You waited so long to have a child, and finally God gives you the promised child. You have your boy, you're old, you have an heir, and you realize at this point of your age that your child means more to you than any other thing that you have. You have an heir to give all your inheritance, but the inheritance in your mind's already gone. You don't care about your things at this point. Your cattle, your sheep, your livestock, your possessions, your wealth, your gold. You know you're going to be dead soon. But what matters is the living heir, your child. It is not just a regular child. It's a child that God had promised you a long time ago. At this point, 37 years ago, he made you this promise. And it took 25 years to actually have this child. And now that you have this child, he's around 12 or so, he's a young child. And you get God, you have God telling you this: sacrifice him. The thing that means the world to you, give him up. And not just give him up, kill them yourself. What kind of God does that? You may think. Why did he do that? How could he have done that? Why does God allow you to go through such trials, such difficulties? Why does he allow your young child to die? Why? Your sister or your brother to pass away. Why does he allow your spouse to leave you? Could it not be a little easier, dear Lord? Why, after I have turned my life to you and after I believe, after I become a Christian, why are you allowing these trials in my life? Why? I prayed 3 times for the thorn to be taken away from me. I've had surgery after surgery, and still yet the pain is there. I don't know if I can do much more of this, you may think. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. Am I not beloved of the Lord? Or has he cursed me? Would he take my only son? Would he have me sacrifice my child? Why? Why, God? This doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem right that I'm going through this. You're asking this of me. This is too much to ask. Not from a loving God. A loving God would not ask this of me. You ever thought that? Ever wonder why God allows you to go through such difficulties and trials, to be tempted so severely? Ever want to say time out, but there's no way to stop it? You can't push time out. You can't avoid it. you can't get out of it. You're in the middle of it and wonder where God is and why he's allowing these things to take place. Well, in this verse, we see why. We get a little answer to our question, why? Why trials? Why does God permit them? Psalms 7:9 says, God tries the heart. 1 Chronicles 29:17, you try the heart. Psalm 11:5, the Lord tests the righteous and the wicked. You see, trials are testing. A testing of our faith, a testing of our love, a testing of our genuineness. Are you a true Christian? There's four seeds that fall on four different grounds. What ground are you? Are you on the path with joy, quickly grow up and say, I'm a Christian, I want to go to church, I'm going to follow the Lord? Are you the ones that come on the rocks, the thorns and thistles? Or you are the ground that's good and fertile? Which are you? How do you know if your faith is real? How do you know if you're a true Christian? Not everyone who claims to be a Christian is a Christian. Some of you are not a Christian, but you think you are. God will find out. Now, I know God knows the heart, but he's going to put you through a test or two, or three or four, or maybe a lifetime of testing that will expose who you are. The real you will come out. The real you will manifest itself in testing. We'll find out who you are. We'll see if Abraham has faith or not. Abraham believed. Well, we'll find out. We'll see if he really believes God. Are you going to pass the test? You're in a test. You're being tried by God. How are you going to do? Do you believe God? Do you love God? We'll find out. That's what this verse is telling us. The first reason God allows testing is to prove us. Are we going to be approved of God after being tested and tried, come out verified by God himself as genuine, as real? Or are we going to prove ourselves to be a hypocrite? Are we going to prove ourselves to not really be a believer? Or are you going to be tested? You're going to be tried. In fact, verse 12 says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the trial or stood the test. You see, this is going to be a test. It's a testing designed to see if we are indeed approved of God. Kind of a quality assurance testing. The testing of the genuineness, the authenticity of our faith. It's easy to claim that we have faith when all is well. But what do we do when our spouse dies? Or we get the news we have cancer? Or our child is rebellious and goes astray and estranges us? What do we do when our faith is tested? You see, the objective is to be an X-ray of faith, to expose who you are on the inside. You claim to be a Christian, easy to do when all is well, but what do you do if you're Abraham and you have to go into the woods and gather your firewood and take your knife and your son to obey God? Are you going to obey him? Are you going to follow through with the commands of God? You may think, how would he ask this of me? This doesn't make sense. He promised me this child. Why will he have me kill this child? This doesn't make sense. How could you, God? You may think. You promised me not just a child, you promised me grandchildren. You're going to take that all away from me? You see, such testing exposes your heart. Proverbs 17:3, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests hearts. He's going to test your heart. Maybe he is testing your heart. In fact, he certainly is testing your heart. Every morning, the Bible says, he tests us. It brings out our thoughts. Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. I mean, it's testing what you think. Even given to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. He tests our emotions, our feelings. Jeremiah 11:20, O Lord of hosts, who judges righteously, who tries the feelings and of the heart. You are who you are in your thoughts, not what you pretend to be on the outside. You come to church and you can fake it, you can pretend to the point that you deceive yourself. God's going to prove and test you. And what you are or who you are on the inside will come out under the right circumstances. Squeeze you a little bit and your true nature will get to you. I have an uncle that I was with on Christmas. And we hadn't seen him in a while, and he was praising my parents, how good of parents they were, and how he looked up to them. And I was like, man, this guy really appreciates my parents, my dad. The next day, or maybe the next week, we ran into him, but he was drunk. And then he cussed out my dad. And told him how bad of a parent he was. And I remember just being a child and saying, just last week you were saying this, now you're saying this. You see, the alcohol really brought out who he was. The alcohol exposed his true feelings. He was lying and deceiving the week before. Well, God knows how to get exposed who you are in the inside. He knows how to get your thoughts to be manifested, not just to yourself, but to the world, to Satan himself. One of my closest friends, his son is with us this day, Joe Tigreen. Joe Tigreen knew he was dying. Owen Tigreen is here with us this morning. And Owen, I don't know where you're sitting, but your dad was one of my heroes. talked with him as the day approached and was with him the day that he died. You know, that would be the time that you'd be going, why God? I'm young. I have a new child. I have a young family. Why are you taking me? Why are you taking me home at this point? This doesn't seem right. This doesn't seem like this should happen. Am I not one of your children? Do I not love you? Have I not been faithful with what you've given me to do? Why take me home now? You see, that test proved his faith. I've never seen a man die with such courage and belief and joy. Trusting God and rejoicing and worshiping the Lord that was afflicting him. You see, that trial proved that Joel was the real deal. It proved that he truly believed. You can say you believe, but do you believe when God puts the death sentence on you? Though he afflict you, are you going to be able to say, yet I still will trust in him? You see, God will prove if you have faith or not. The Lord took the Israelites out of Egypt and had them wander for 40 years in the desert. And why was this 40-year period? The Bible says it was a 40-year test. He tested them. It says in Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, you shall remember all the ways the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Are you going to obey God if you're just wandering around in the desert for 40 years? Are you going to keep believing 40 years and keep obeying even though you're not able to get into the promised land? Are you still going to trust God in such a circumstance? Sometimes God removes his presence, his felt presence from you. He's always going to be with you, but are you going to believe that when you don't feel him? Sometimes he's going to afflict you or allow afflictions to come upon you. And every affliction, every trial, every tribulation is a test. It's a test to see who you are, what you believe. The Corinthians were tested. A famine came and poverty struck the people. People were poor. Bills came in, money went out. What are they to do? Are they going to pass the test or not? Well, they did pass the test. 2 Corinthians 8:2, for in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. So in an extreme affliction, they were tested with great poverty. And what happened in their poverty and their testing? They proved to be generous. I failed that test last week. Yeah, I failed it. Heard of a need, and I immediately thought to myself, this is not a good time. This is not a good time. I look back after reading what I read about the Corinthians. I failed. Every time we see a need and we have the ability to meet that need, but we consider our own poverty and our own inability, we're not really trusting God. We cease to be generous if we think we're poor. But the Corinthians, God put them in this affliction. God took away some of their wealth and income. God gave them more bills. God sent a famine. It just to see how they would respond to such a circumstances. And how did they respond? They're generous people if they're wealthy. They're generous people if they're poor. They're just generous people. Their generosity comes through no matter what circumstance they were in. They pass the test. But we often fail. We fail. We don't trust God. We have our eyes on our testing, eyes on our circumstances, and we don't trust the Lord. And the testing proves it. See, God knows these things. God didn't need to test Abraham, but Abraham did. He didn't know what he would do. It's when you fail the test that you realize you didn't have the generosity you thought you had. It's when you fail the test, you realize you don't have the faith that you thought you had. You need to be tested. It will expose it to Satan, to the world, your family, and it will reveal to you who you are. You see, testing exposes if you're real or if you're fake. You see, there's two types of testings. There's affliction and there's pleasure. The seed sown on rocky ground was tribulations. They fell away when tribulation came. When it became hard, they left. And a lot of people do that. Jesus looked at disciples after things got hard and people, it was no longer politically correct to be a disciple of Christ. Once it became, you know, you're going to have to politically and economically and other areas of your life have to pay the price to be a disciple of Christ, they begin to leave him. And Jesus looked to his disciples and said, are you two going to forsake me? When it gets hard, are you going to leave me? Trials can often pick professing Christians off. Slowly they leave the church, forsake the assembling of themselves together, and go back to the world. But there's also the seeds that were thrown and sown on the ground that had all the thorns and thistles. And they sprouted out and carried on for a while and claimed to be a Christian, claimed to be Christians and seemed to be legitimate and real. They thought they were legitimate and real Christians, and their family and friends thought they were legitimate and real. But what exposed them? The cares of this world. Just pleasure. Sometimes you're tested not just with the trials, you're tested with the bonuses. Extra income. More money. More free time, more pleasure, more activities, tested. Who are you? Are you real or are you fake? Do you love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul? Do you believe Him or do you not? Have you given your life and all that you have to the Lord Jesus Christ? We'll see. Let me give you money. Let me give you pleasure. Let me give you a lot of enjoyment. Let me give you a lot of distraction. Are you going to be distracted? Are you going to be carried away with all the pleasures of this world? Will you slowly grow cold and indifferent towards the things of God? You see, you're being tested, and that will prove if you're legitimate or if you're a fake. What are you facing today? Job 7:17, what is man that you make so much of him and that you set your heart on him? Visit him every morning and test him every moment. When will this test end? When Christ comes back and when you die. You're being tested with good and bad. The Apostle Paul had to learn contentment in prosperity and in want. You have to learn to endure good days and bad days. Or you're going to set your heart and your affections on things above, no matter what your life is like. That's the test. Are you going to believe to the end, persevere in faith and love? Are you going to trust and obey? Set your heart on God. This is how I'm going to live. And live that way. And be committed no matter what the price or cost. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you. As though something strange were happening to you. Don't think it's strange that you're being tested. Don't think it's strange that every moment you have an exam, a pop test to go through. How are you going to do? How are you doing? Are you failing? Are you passing? I don't know if this is biblical or not, but my dad would always say, if you fail the test, you've got to retake it. And I think there's some truth to that. You look back and say, I should have done this, or should have said that. I'm ashamed. I was ashamed of Christ, and I was in a situation, and I failed. I didn't do what I should have done. I made a mistake. You see your failures. Well, don't worry. Tomorrow you're going to have another test. Pass it this time. Trust God. See, testing is going to be hard. You think you'd have one test and you graduate, and no, there's no graduation until glory. The tests sometimes just seem to get harder and harder. It says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test. And it's implied within these words of remaining steadfast and standing that it's difficult to stand. It's difficult to remain steadfast, to persevere. No doubt it was difficult for Abraham to pull out his knife to sacrifice his son. That wasn't easy. It had to be difficult for Daniel when they said, do not pray. And he goes to his window like he does every day and prays, knowing that he would face the lion's den. That must have been difficult. Must have been difficult for the three men to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Everybody wants to be a martyr, but they want it to happen when they're 98. They can get the martyr's crown when they're old and live the full life, when they're ready to die anyway. But what about being a martyr when you're in your 30s, the prime of your life, when you have so much excitement and young children and so many things ahead of you? What about being willing to die then? You don't get to choose when you're tested. Are you going to be able to pass the test if it comes? We learned this weekend about two deacons, and I thought about our two deacons in our church, two deacons in the early church during one of the major persecutions. I think it was the Diocletian persecution, the last major persecution, right around 307 to 310. Two deacons were asked, they came into the church, there was two deacons, they asked for them to hand over the sacred scriptures. And they said, we don't have the scriptures. We're not the readers. The readers would be the ones that would be entrusted with safekeeping the Bible, bringing it to church, taking it home, keeping it safe. The deacon says, we don't have the scriptures. They said, well, where are the readers? The two deacons said to the Roman soldiers, "We're not telling. Do with us as you will." And they, what we perceive is that they paid the ultimate price. They died. A test. Test. I mean, the test could be to that extent. Do you really believe Jesus? And I promise you, I'll put it this way, if you don't, it may not need to be the threat of death. It may just be a couple $100 that you could sell out Christ. But if you have a price, Satan will find it. If you're not real, if you haven't forsaken all to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever you haven't forsaken, I promise you, will be uncovered. And that will be your damnation. See, it's hard. The tests are hard. Your trials are difficult. They're designed to be difficult, but they're not impossible. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has ever overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape. Not that you might get out of it, that you may be able to endure it, to withstand, to remain steadfast in the middle of it. The prayer may not be, "I will take your thorn out of your flesh." The answer may be, "My grace is sufficient." You see, the goal of the test is not just to rush through it and get over it. The goal is endurance. These tests sometimes last a long time, but it's the longevity of the trial that makes it a real test. Anybody can handle a bad day. Well, most anybody can. But what about bad weeks, bad months, bad years? The goal is to remain faithful, steadfast. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. This is to stand strong, to not compromise, to endure, to persevere. Jesus said it this way, "The one who endures or perseveres to the end shall be saved." He put it this way, Matthew 10, "You will be hated by everyone because of my name, but the one who perseveres to the end shall be saved." Satan is seeking to get you to fall away, and I don't believe he thinks you're a Christian. He thinks you're a hypocrite. You're deceiving yourself. You're a liar. You don't really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not really committed to him. This is why we're told, we heard it this morning in our class, Hebrews 11 says, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away." Fall away. To cease to be steadfast, to fall away from the living God. "But exhort one another every day as long as called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt and led by Moses? They were tested and proven to be unbelievers. They failed the test and did not inherit the promised land. This is a warning for us not to forsake the local assembling of ourselves together, to fall away and be carried away by the deceitfulness of riches, the deceitfulness of sin, the deceitfulness of pleasure, the deceitfulness of this world. Remember Demas. Paul says, Demas has forsaken me. He has gone away. He's no longer steadfast, loving this present evil world. Hebrews 3:12, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. Take heed. Some of you might be on the verge of slipping away. Some of you are going through a trial one way or another, and you're just on the verge of not following through and persevering in faith. Take heed. Be careful. The world wants you. Satan wants you. Your flesh would have you move away from the living God. You see, remain steadfast. Prove that you do love God. It says, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Blessed are those who endure, stay steadfast, stand in the time of trial. They're going to receive this crown, and it's going to be given to those who truly, genuinely love him. You see, the trial will determine your love. It will expose your love. Do you love God or do you not? Do you love God when you're being afflicted? Can you say, even though he afflict me, I yet will trust in him, as Job said? It proves not just your faith, but also your love. Zechariah 13:9, and I will bring them through the fire, refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. What will happen after they're tested? They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is my God. Can you say that after the testing? After your trial, that is my God. Through thick and thin, through good days and bad days, I love him. I want God more than this world. I do not fear man, for they can only take the body. I don't care about this world. You can take it away from me. That's not taking my treasure. You must give me God. You must give me Christ. I must have him. You can have this world. You can take my health. You can take my wealth. You can take my good days. You can take my... And we don't want to say this. You could take my children. I will not have idols above my God. If no one else, even my wife or my husband, my children, my parents, if they all forsake the living God, I cannot, I will not. God is life. God is the reward. God is everything. If you really love God, the trial just shows that everything else is really not that important to you. We know trials produces patience, and we can go back and go through Peter and exposit again first part of James and what trials produce in us. It has an immediate benefit for us. But this is talking about not just the immediate benefit or the benefit that comes after we endure with steadfastness and patience and long-suffering and all these things. The real reward. This is my second point. Why testing? Because there's a reward, a crown to be had if we pass or when we pass. This is why it begins by saying blessed. Blessed is the man. It's a shame we don't have an English word that captures the word blessed. It means two things. It means happy, and it means rewarded, or wealthy, or prosperous, spiritually prosperous, rewarded. Sometimes you get people just saying it just means a synonym for happy. No, it has the idea of joy and happiness. Blessed is a man, or happy is the man. But it's talking about reasons to really be blessed. When you say, man, I am blessed. I got all these wonderful children. I got this wonderful church family, and God's just been so good to me. It's talking about goodness. It's talking about rewards that you've been given. And this is saying, who is the true blessed man? Who's the real blessed person? It's not those who had a great life that are in hell or going to hell. Blessed is the man who are poor in spirit. It says, why are they blessed? This is the reason. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. Why are they blessed? For they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. Why? For they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why? For they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful. Why? For they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on their account. Blessed when people curse you and ridicule you and make fun of you and demote you. And blessed are you when you're criticized and insulted for Christianity. Blessed are you. Why? Not because you're being cursed, but because of this. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. You're going to be blessed. You are blessed because God's going to reward you. He's going to enrich you. He's going to give you things that you can't imagine. He's going to reward you richly. This verse says, blessed is the man. So I don't like trials. Blessed is the man who goes through trials. No, it doesn't say that. Blessed is the man who endures trials. Why? For he will receive a crown. I like how the Bible uses this imagery of a crown. It's glory. It could just say you're going to receive life, and we'll get into the life in a second, but it's the crown of life. And why is it a crown? Because there's glory and honor and prestige attached to a crown that God's going to put on your head, a crown. Can you imagine after going through the test, making it through, and then God, before all of the redeemed, and maybe before all the unredeemed, before his angels, the Father saying it, before the Son, and before the Holy Spirit, for all to hear, well done. Well done. You've endured. You passed the test. Let me give you this reward. Come up here so all can see. Here is your reward. And what is this reward? It's not a crown of gold or silver or any such thing. It's life. It's life eternal. It's not eternal existence. The demons and people in hell have eternal existence. Life is Christ. Life is glory. Life is communion with God. Life is all that is good and wholesome and righteous and holy. It's eternal joy, blissfulness, happiness. It's true glory. It's life. It's Christ. There's no greater reward than he can give you than himself. Whatever affliction you're going through, it is light in comparison to the weight of glory that shall be revealed in you. You're going to be a testimony. You who are going through a trial are going to be a testimony to the whole world of glory. Those two deacons that you don't know their names that died for Christ in the early 4th century, those two deacons will be put up on a pedestal and we're going to go, what faith in Christ they had. And that is going to be more valuable to those two men than if you would gave them the whole world. You're going through something, but stand fast. Endure. Do not go back. Do not trust Christ in the midst of this. God is faithful. He's going to keep you. He's not going to afflict you beyond your ability to endure it. He's kind, he's gracious, he's good, and he has no desire for your hurt or your pain. We'll get into that next week. Don't think temptation comes from God. He doesn't tempt anyone. He's a good God. He only gives good gifts. Faithful is the living God. Don't mistrust God in the midst of your trial. He's going to give you a reward. 1 Peter 5:10, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore and confirm and strengthen and establish you. Rejoice, he says in chapter 4, verse 13, that you share in the sufferings of Christ, that you may also be overjoyed at the revelation of his glory, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to the result in the praise and glory and honor of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Don't you want that to get through the test and that it proves to be genuine and real and faithful? Absolutely. So you will be tested. Let me give you a word quickly for those who are not Christians. The Bible says he's going to test the righteous and the wicked. The only way you're going to pass this test, you're not passing now. God knows you're a fake. God knows you're a sinner. God knows you're going to hell. And in your conscience, you know it too. The only way you can be a true Christian is to forsake everything you have now. You can't give half and make it. You will be exposed soon enough that you're not fully repentant. If you have one idol in your heart, you're going to go to hell. Surrender. Trust Christ with all that you have. He will save you. And I'll give us this word to end. Revelation 3:11. I am coming soon. Hold fast. Hold fast to what you have so that no one may seize your crown. Amen.